Hello, everybody. I'm Bishop Joseph Coffey with the Military Archdiocese. I'm from Philadelphia. That's my home diocese. And we're sitting here at St. Coleman Rectory in Ardmore, PA. My job is I'm the Vicar for Veterans Affairs for the Military Archdiocese. So I get to go all over the country visiting our veterans' hospitals and ministering to our priest chaplains who work in the VA hospitals. And they are all endorsed by Archbishop Timothy Broglio, who is the Military Archbishop. I too am a veteran. I have served for almost 28 years in the Navy as a chaplain, and now I am the Vicar for Veterans Affairs for the Military Archdiocese as an auxiliary bishop. So I travel and visit our veterans' hospitals. But my home base is Philadelphia and St. Coleman Rectory in Ardmore, and that's where we are today, here with Karen. Thank you, Karen, for inviting me to speak about one of my favorite topics, which is the Eucharist. The Second Vatican Council called it the source and summit of our faith. What does that mean? It's the most important thing we believe. You look at the Catechism, this big, thick book. Of all the things we believe, if it's something is a source and summit of our faith, that means it's really the most important thing we believe as Catholics. And we're very grateful to the bishops and Bishop Cousins in particular, who is spearheading this Eucharistic revival that's going to be held 2 years from now in Indianapolis. So we're now working towards promoting the Eucharist. So I'd like to talk about the Eucharist a little bit and talk about 40 hours devotion. I know Bishop O'Hara spoke about it on one of the videos in this series. And being from Philadelphia, I can give you a personal account of that. 40 hours devotion was founded by Bishop John Neumann when he came here as our bishop. And he did that as a way of promoting devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, where every weekend in a different parish in the Diocese of Philadelphia, the parish would have 40 hours of devotion round the clock for the Blessed Sacrament. And I grew up in St. Matthias Parish in Bala Cynwyd, PA, and our parish also had the 40 hours devotion. And we lived directly across the street from the church. And my father, Dr. Bill Coffey, was a great Catholic, and he had a great devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. So he signed up for some of the toughest hours in the middle of the night. I remember it was almost like a rite of passage when you were old enough to go with my dad to 40 hours devotion. And I'll never forget the first time I went. I was a real little kid. I was the fifth out of nine kids. And mom would stay home with the babies, but dad woke me up and said, "Joe, you want to join us?" I said, "Yeah." So I remember walking across the street, and it was very dark, and I think it was cold. And we walked into the church. And the church was very dark, but on the altar, surrounded by candles, was the monstrance, and there was Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I'll never forget that feeling I had of just reverence and awe that Jesus was truly present in that host. And I remember seeing our elderly pastor, Father Cain, quietly saying his rosary and praying his breviary. And I think maybe that was an image that stuck with me. And many years later, I became a priest. I joined the seminary. I went to the seminary in Philadelphia. And then I remember when I was in high school, my mother, Rosanita Coffey, was a daily communicant like my dad. And she and Mrs. Barbara Henkels organized the 40 hours devotion and the Eucharistic Rosary Congress in Philadelphia. And that was a big deal. Philadelphia, we had what we called a Rosary Congress. And people, it was held at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul, where I was ordained a priest in 1996. And the schools, the high schools, the grade schools, the colleges, parishes, they would come on buses, and it was very well organized, round the clock, a Rosary Congress where a continuous devotion to the Blessed Sacrament and the saying of the Rosary. And it was a very, very big success. And I just heard very recently that it's going to happen again in Philadelphia. I believe this fall we're having another Rosary Congress and Eucharistic devotion. So there were two of my great memories growing up in Philadelphia where my mom and dad strongly influenced their kids. Of course, they had us baptized as babies, but they were the first and the best teachers of our faith. So that's where I got my faith from, my parents. But then, as we all know, that little kids all over the world are brought up in different faiths, but then it's up to them which faith they're going to actually practice. They have to make a conscious choice at some point in their life. But parents need to do all they can to influence their children for good and to give them good example. And one of the best ways to do that is to bring their children to 40 hours devotions when they happen in their parish, confessions on the weekends, definitely Mass on Sunday or Saturday night, or sometimes even during the week. So just as you don't let a little kid decide whether they want to go to school or not. You say, you're going to school. Well, the same thing really should be for Mass. When the child is older, maybe goes off to college, he or she's going to decide for themselves. But until then, the rule in my house was always Mass on Sunday. It was a non-negotiable, trust me. And we took it seriously. So that was a big influence for us, I think. So that's what I want to share with you about my memories of 40 hours devotion in Philadelphia and at my parish. I wanted to encourage everyone, all the people who are listening, Catholics, non-Catholics, to learn about our teaching on the Eucharist, how the Vatican Council said it was the source and summit of our faith. We really do believe that it's Jesus in the Eucharist, body and blood, soul and divinity. Other Christian denominations have different beliefs and teachings on that. Some consider it more like a remembrance of the Last Supper, or they may call it a symbol of God or of Christ and his body. But we as Catholics believe that it's actually the real presence of Christ in his body and blood, soul, and divinity. And it is a mystery, let's be honest. Like many things we believe, it's a matter of faith, and faith is believing without seeing. The church does teach lots of things that are hard for people to believe. For example, that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. We call that ex nihilo. Well, that's a lot to believe. That in the beginning there was just God, and at some point, whether that was 15 billion years ago, or the scientists try to give us an estimate, they don't know for sure, but at some point God decided to create the universe, and he did so. And the Bible then gives us ways to try to explain how that happened. But when it comes to the Eucharist, we believe the words that Jesus told us at the Last Supper, when he took the bread and took the wine and broke the bread and said, "This is my body, take and eat. This is my blood, take and drink." Well, Catholics take those words literally. And Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me." So that's why we have the belief that it's a requirement to go to Mass. That's what God wants us to do, and that's what Jesus has asked us to do, to receive him in the Eucharist. So when I went to seminary, I took some courses on how to try to explain what the Eucharist is. So I'm going to give it a shot now, if that's okay. So we learned about terms like essence, and accidents and things like that, the substance, what a thing is. So here's my attempt at explaining this to you if you've never heard this before. But when we think about what something is, their essence or their substance, we think of, I'm going to give an example of a tree, okay? Think of a tree, any kind of tree, a little Japanese bonsai or a mighty oak tree or a California redwood. They're both trees, right? They share the same essence in their tree-ness. They're both trees, but they're very different in their shape, their size, their weight, their color. Well, in philosophy, we call those things the accidents. Try to describe something, what it weighs, what it looks like, the shape of it. Those things can change, but it doesn't change what the essence is, for example. Or let me use an example of a basketball player. Muggsy Bogues was 5'3". Manute Bol was 7'7". They both played basketball. They were both men. That was their essence. But their accidents were very different, their size and their shape. So we as Catholics believe that when the priest, who's validly ordained, when he says the words of consecration, that simple unleavened bread changes the essence from the bread to the body and blood of Christ, but the accidents remain the same, meaning it still looks and tastes and smells the same before and after. That's what we call transubstantiation, a change of substance. Not everyone believes that, obviously. Catholics believe that. That's what our Catholic Church has taught for 2,000 years. People of other faiths may not believe it, but we do. It's a great reminder to all Catholics that when they go to Mass, they are participating in the unbloody sacrifice of Calvary. We're actually present at Calvary. It doesn't happen again and again and again and again, over and over and over again on altars all over the world. It happened that one time, 2,000 years ago. And at the Mass, we become present at that sacrifice. That's why we call it the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Now, sometimes as a Navy chaplain, I'd have a nice Mass. Some of our Protestant brothers and sisters would say, Preacher, that was a great service. Well, thank you, but it was actually a sacrifice. It's the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So by going to Mass, we participate in that, and we receive the Body and Blood of Christ in the Eucharist, and then that strengthens us, and then that nourishes us to the week. And it might be a difficult week, might be a lot of things going on with your life or with personal problems or whatever, but just having that weekly Eucharist gives us that strength and that courage in today's world. We always need that to proclaim the good news, share that good news, and to have the spiritual benefit of that weekly communion with God by receiving Jesus, his Son, in his body and blood, soul and divinity, every time we receive the Eucharist. And then we can adore that blessed sacrament when we go to adoration, spend time adoring the Lord. So these are the things that the bishops of the United States are going to be emphasizing in a very special way in these next couple of years as we have this Eucharistic revival. And I want to thank Karen and her organization for promoting this and for interviewing bishops from around the country so then they can influence and encourage their priests to really be spreading this devotion to 40 hours in their own parishes. And then as many as possible can all go to Indianapolis for that great National Eucharistic Revival that's going to happen. So thank you, Karen, for inviting me to speak today. And may I give you a blessing. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.